Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey guys, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. It's a program brought to you each week by Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. I'm the happy pastor. There's much to be happy about and to give God thanks for, isn't there? Chris Alford, and the host of the program, and so glad you joined us today, back for the third in a trio of conversations about a wonderful retreat right here in Sacramento that you have the opportunity to come to, is my very dear friend, Dr. Teresa Gardner. Hi, Teresa. Welcome back.
Hi, Pastor Chris. It's good to be back with you and all the wonderful folks in Sacramento. Thank you.
Are you happy today as well?
I am. I am thankful. I am praising the Lord.
Yeah, there's much to be thankful for. Yeah, it's especially in days like this that we need to find places, and there are many where we can give God thanks. Teresa, you're calling in today because you are our very special guest teacher for a retreat next fall that we are titling Finding Jesus in the Feasts. Now, last year, Teresa, you were also here to participate in perhaps a lesser way, but we were also here to participate in a retreat called Finding Jesus in the Tabernacle. It was such a huge success. We wanted you to come back out and focus on the feasts. Listen, I can't wait, and I'm so glad you're coming.
I am so excited to be coming back, Chris. You know, we did find Jesus in the tabernacle last year. He's always been there,
yes.
And we were blessed to find him, and I believe we're going to find Jesus in the feast this time when we gather together. So I'm very excited about coming.
So once again, Teresa, we're talking about October 21st and 22nd. That's Friday and Saturday at the beautiful Christ the King Retreat Center. And folks, listen, it's open to you. There's a small cost that includes a delicious lunch on Saturday. It's Friday and Saturday, October 21 and 22. Not an overnight retreat, though. Golly, I'm just hoping folks will zip over to the Epiclesis website, epiclesis.org. Check out all the information. Teresa, we've had two programs thus far focusing on the retreat because the retreat will be comprised of three feasts. So if folks want to listen to our previous conversations about Passover or about Pentecost, they can also go to the website. But today, we're going to talk about the third feast, which will comprise most of the Saturday afternoon session, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's one of your favorites, isn't it?
It certainly is, Chris. There are seven feasts altogether. There were three required for the men to go up to annually to Jerusalem, and the Tabernacles is the last one. So it's very exciting. Think of it. It's the seventh feast. For 7 days, they're to celebrate. In the seventh month, what are we hearing here? This number seven means completion and fulfillment. And so the Feast of Tabernacles is like the fulfillment of fulfillments. It's like the completion of completions. It really is a climax to all of the feast. And it's a very exciting way for us to celebrate. And, you know, we've looked at, as you mentioned in the previous conversations, how it's so clear how we've seen Jesus fulfill the Feast of Passover and fulfill the Feast of Pentecost.
Yes.
And the Feast of Tabernacles actually is still yet to be completely fulfilled with Jesus. And so we're in the process of that, but we still have much to look forward to. So it is an exciting time, and we are between that Feast of Pentecost, Shavuot, and this final Feast of Tabernacles. You have this long harvest season that's going to culminate in the ultimate harvest.
Now, folks, coming this fall to Sacramento on October 21st and 22nd, Finding Jesus in the Feasts. You know, it occurs to me that you will, at the time of the retreat, be coming straight from Israel, where you are going to be participating in the Feast of Tabernacles. And I think you said that it's something you've done every year, or most every year, for a long, long time. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. My first introduction to the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'll just tell you, and this may be true for so many of the people coming to the retreat, and I really want to encourage them to come, I knew nothing. I just knew that I'd been invited to come and be part of a worship team to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. That was many, many years ago. Since that time, I became a volunteer and I became the dance company manager, because part of what happens at the Feast of Tabernacles is that people from all over the world come up to Jerusalem to celebrate and worship our great king in the city of the great king. And Chris, just in my experience, it's not unusual for there to be 70 to 100 nations represented. It's not unusual for there to be 5 to 7,000 Christians that come together to celebrate this biblical feast. And one of the things this feast is known as, this Feast of Ingathering, which refers to the major harvest, also is symbolic and fulfilled in all of the nations coming up to worship in Jerusalem. So even now in our lifetime, we're experiencing a foretaste of what it means when all believers come from all over the world to come to Jerusalem to worship. So it's quite an experience, Chris, to literally see a small foretaste of what will ultimately be fulfilled. So yes, I think I've been there 14, 15 times for the Feast of Tabernacles.
Wow.
And I'm hoping to go again for this year's 40th anniversary of the Christian Embassy's celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. I hope, Lord willing. And then 1 week later, we'll be celebrating the feast in Sacramento. How exciting is that?
Oh, I know. And I'm sure that you will bring some of that good excitement with you when you come. Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Teresa Gardner. She's my friend and colleague. We co-led a trip to Israel a couple of years ago, and that sparked in us a desire to bring that kind of experience back to a retreat setting here in Sacramento. Last year, we did Finding Jesus in the Tabernacle, which was stunning, I have to say. But this year, we're going to follow up with another wonderful retreat called Finding Jesus in the Feasts. The date, again, is October 16 and 17, and you are invited. Teresa, before the break there, you mentioned something about a dance troupe, and that reminds me that we need to tell people just a little bit about what it is that you do at the Zion Center for Worship and the Arts, and how you're going to be bringing some of those folks with you as we really make this a colorful celebration in the fall.
Absolutely, Chris. We are thrilled, and the young women that are coming with us are very, very excited to be joining us in this worship celebration. The Zion Center is a place where we train and we teach about biblical worship, and we use as many of the arts as possible to proclaim God's good news. First, to worship Him, and also to help others to know Him through seeing, through hearing, through this proclamation of the arts. And particularly, we've had dance ministry as a part of our worship. I've been involved with it for 40 years, and we've been training generation after generation. And what does the Bible say about worship, praising His name with dancing, as the Psalms tell us in many other places in the Bible? So we have a team of people that love the Lord and have dedicated their lives to the Lord and love to use their gifts and talents to glorify the Lord and help others come to know Him more. So we're planning on a team of 10 coming out, and we're already making preparation for that. We're very excited. So here's a little clue for you.
Yeah.
The word feast actually comes from the Hebrew word chag, but inherent in the Hebrew word for feast, it's understood that it means dancing, because it means celebration. It was a normal part of the feast celebrations for the community to dance in celebration together. Now, don't be afraid. That doesn't mean ballet. That doesn't mean modern. No, it just means offering yourself in joy to the Lord. And by the way, another name for this feast is the season, or the feast of joy, the season or feast of rejoicing, because they were commanded to be joyful and to celebrate for 7 days. Can you imagine how different our lives would be if we truly celebrated and were joyful for 7 days? I know we're to be joyful always in the Lord. So I want to give people the opportunity, just in case they didn't celebrate for all of those 7 days of the feast, we'll give them the opportunity to do that when we gather together for the retreat, because joy is certainly part of the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Well, I think it would change a lot of things right now if we would be thankful and joyful, but that's a whole other conversation, which, by the way, we ought to do, actually, applying Jewish festival tradition to current day circumstances. That interests me, by the way. Let's tuck that one away for another time. Teresa, let's dig in a little more to this particular feast. We're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, and it will be the focus of the Saturday afternoon portion of our retreat. Let's give everybody some details about this retreat, because they're going to want to mark their calendars for this one. What's going to happen? What are you going to focus on? What will the room look like? How will you use the dance ministers that are coming? Let's dig in a little more.
Okay, so we will have the room prepared with what's called a sukkah booth. The Feast of Tabernacles, known as the Feast of Sukkot, which means shelter, it means booth, it means covering. So we'll have like a traditional sukkah booth there in the room decorated. And of course, we'll talk about all of the symbolism and what that means. And by the way, if you're in Israel for Sukkot, for Tabernacles, they're everywhere. To this day, they still fulfill the command to live in the booths. Now, they don't live in it 24/7 like they used to, because the main reason is to remind us of how God took care of his people after they left Egypt. They're to build these booths to remember how God provided for them, how he guided them. Don't we still need that today?
Yes,
we do. Of course we do. We're on a temporary journey too. Our lives are temporary here in our earthly form, but God is still our shelter. He's still our provider. He's still the one that will lead us and guide us through this journey. So I know I just got off track a little bit.
No, it's wonderful.
So we'll have the room decorated as a sukkah booth. And so we'll understand that we're coming up to worship the Lord. And it's a very fruitful place. It's a very joyful environment as we do that. And of course, we'll want the people to participate just like we would have had them participate with Passover and Pentecost. And Chris, if I may, before we run out of time, since the theme of this gathering is Jesus, finding Jesus in the feast, I want to just mention briefly three ways that we clearly see Jesus in the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, he clearly said he was the fulfillment of this feast. He even attended the Feast of Tabernacles. So the one who created the feast to show us who God is in his earthly form, he attended the feast. And one of the things that you may remember that he has said in the context of the Feast of Tabernacles is, I am the light of the world.
Yes.
Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John, he refers to himself as the light of the world. Okay, one of the elements of this feast is light. Now, they didn't have electricity. There were so many huge candelabras and just huge torches. You could see for miles light emanating out of Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Wow.
In this context, Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world.
Yes.
I mean, I've read that one of these candelabras, that four of them were 75 feet high.
Mercy.
That's big.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, hey, you see all this light? I am the light of the world.
A city on a hill cannot be hidden.
Right.
Yeah, I love
it. And so Jesus is clearly saying, I'm the light. He also, at the climax of this water libation, pouring out of water ceremony that was part of the Feast of Tabernacles, at the very moment on the last and great day of the feast, it clearly says in John, the last and great day of the feast, Jesus stands up. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So at this time when the water, this climactic part of the ceremony was that day, he's saying, but if you're thirsty, come to me.
And if I'm remembering scripture rightly, it says that he stood up and said this in a loud voice. So you can imagine Jesus looking over this scene where the priest is going through his normal priestly function on this last day of the Feast of Sukkot, where they're bringing water forth, and Jesus stands up and says, "I am this water. If you're thirsty, come to me." Oh, man, Teresa, that's good stuff.
It is good stuff. And we'll go into more detail about the timing of when he said that. Oh, my goodness. It's just, it's amazing. And then the third thing, just is very obvious, but if you remember in John where it speaks of, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. Well, that word dwelt is actually tabernacle.
Yes.
Among us. And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. So it's the same word that was used when you speak of the tabernacle of Moses, okay? So tabernacle and glory are associated. We even see John tell us that he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. And in Revelation, it says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men."
Yes.
And again, you know, he's always wanted to dwell among us.
Yeah.
Now he dwells within us. But I love it that in Revelation, God gets his way.
Yes.
And he says, "Now the tabernacle of God is with men. And we dwell with him and he dwells with us." And this feast points us so much to understanding what it's going to mean to dwell with God, how we dwell with him now, and how we will dwell with him forever. It's exciting. It's the Lord's feast. He invites us to come to it. He wants to talk to us. He wants to just let us know what his plans are and how much he loves us. And what do we have to do? We just come.
Come and enjoy.
We come.
Yes.
We come and receive what he wants to give to us.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Teresa Gardner. She is coming to Sacramento this fall, October 21 and 22. And we're talking about a retreat that we're doing at Epiclesis, where she is our special guest teacher. It's called Finding Jesus in the Feasts. And already folks are signing up, making their reservations. It includes a delicious lunch, and all you have to do is pop over to the Epiclesis website, epiclesis.org, to make your reservation. I do want to say a quick word, if I can, about the retreat center. We are going to be at Christ the King Retreat Center, beautiful place, and a very large, open, airy room that can accommodate a lot of folks. There'll be plenty of opportunity for outside fresh air and plenty of space to move around in the room itself, which is going to be handy, isn't it, Teresa? Because you're bringing dancers and there's going to be a lot of movement with this, I'll bet. Teresa, you sort of touched on it just before that last little break, but I think this might be an interesting place to pick your brains a bit as we come to our close. You were talking about, well, what the feasts can do, if I can use that word, for us as believers. So let me phrase it this way. Why should evangelical modern-day believers in Jesus care anything about these feasts or want to learn more about them or maybe most of all participate in them? Why should we?
Well, I think, first of all, these are God's feasts. He set them up to be observed annually, and they're on his calendar. And we know that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in our Lord, and we are complete in him, right? So we're speaking of Jesus. The more we know Jesus, the more complete we are, the more we find our reason for being, why he created us, and how we're to live in the abundant life that Jesus gives to us. And these feasts are called appointments. They're considered rehearsals for what we're getting ready for as well. But just to answer your question, the reason for these feasts is that God used events fulfilled in Jesus to reveal himself to us, that we can be his covenant people, that we can be in relationship with him. These are not Old Testament feasts. These are the feast of the Lord, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. So the fulfillment of these is fulfillment in our lives today, and they will help us to walk out our salvation. They will help us to walk out our relationship with the Lord. Someone said to me in my early walk with the Lord, my pastor's wife said, "Don't you want all that the Lord has for you?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." You know, I was like, "Well, I don't know if I need that. I don't know if I need that. I've got Jesus. I don't know if I need that." But when she said, "Don't you want all that the Lord has for you?" I was like, well, yes, of course I want all that the Lord has for me. And I think as we learn more about these feasts, we're going to learn more about what the Lord has for us as God's people. I think, Chris, one of the things I know we're going to talk about is where do we even see the feast in our Sunday morning worship times together?
Oh, yeah.
We celebrate the feast every time we gather. And we're going to be celebrating a feast. Actually, it says in Zechariah, we'll be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles for 1,000 years. So let's get used to it. But we'll be celebrating the wedding feast of the Lamb with the Lord. So the more we understand feast, the more we're going to understand abiding with the Lord.
I'm thinking also of Paul's words where he says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, what? Let us keep the feast. Yes, we do that every time we gather for worship. Well, Teresa Gardner, I appreciate the time you've taken to talk with us today. It's always a delight. One little thing we might want to mention. You are going to be looking for some helpers to do some things while you're here, and this conversation may just perk somebody's ears up and would want to participate in a simple way with your dancers, but nothing too crazy, right? I mean, they wouldn't have to do tap or jazz or anything like that.
Absolutely not. Let's remember that in the Bible, dance can mean something as simple as walking. So everyone can dance before the Lord, everyone. But yeah, we'd love to have some people get involved with us ahead of time to help us bring this to life, so to speak, by just learning some simple movements, doing a simple dance, helping maybe with billowing some of the silks that we're going to be using to portray what the Lord is doing in our midst. Yeah, so if they're interested, please let them just get in touch with you, Chris, and we will work that out.
Folks, we're gearing up, and I want you to really lean in and listen to this. We're gearing up for a retreat coming this fall to Sacramento on October 21st and 22nd called Finding Jesus in the Feasts. It's at the Christ the King Retreat Center. It's going to be an amazing retreat. You don't have to be a member of our church to participate, but you do need to zip over to the Epiclesis website to learn more. That's EPICLESIS.org. Go down to the bottom of the first page and you'll find a story there about finding Jesus in the feasts with Dr. Teresa Gardner. One more thing, folks, while you're at the Epiclesis website, take a minute to check out some information about our church, where we worship, what time, and best of all, get the information on how you can come worship with us on a Sunday morning at 10:30. Teresa, I know you have a very busy week, and I'm grateful for the time you've carved out for us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Chris, it's always a delight to be with you and our wonderful brothers and sisters in your area. Thank you for allowing me the privilege and opportunity to worship together with you.
You bet. I can't wait. Folks, until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to think about this. Maybe even especially in light of the topsy-turvy, upside-down, chaotic world we live in today. Surely, the way forward for our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Let's seize that, get to know it, and uncover those marvelous truths that were hammered out in the long ago in times that look, well, an awful lot like our current ones. Until then, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome.
As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.